Okay, we're on page 22 in the Vilna Siddur, and the opening words of this introduction is just how poetically these lines appear. How many syllables they have? How many words they have? Not so important for us, but it's the issue is that it's Yisuda So Al Hayud Gimali Karim, the end of the line. Its foundation is on the 13 principles of faith. Kafisha Sidram Harambam Zal Beresh Perak Chelek. The last parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, which starts, at least the way we have it in our Gemara, is Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Lolam Haba. Right? The Mishnayos and Perak Elo start that way. Right? So in the Mishnayos, it's the next to last parak of Sanhedrin. But they're right, it doesn't really matter. The point is that in the Rambam's Perish HaMishnah, it's a huge, huge introduction. It's a Perish HaMishnah, it's explained in the Mishnah. How long does that have to be? But his Perish HaMishnah to the last parak in Sanhedrin is this long philosophical tract explaining what the Mishnah says. Here is how you forfeit your Olam Haba. It starts Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. The next words are Ve'elu She'ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. You don't lose your Olam Haba for the most egregious sins. You don't lose your Olam Haba for murder. You don't lose your Olam Haba for Avodah Zarah. You lose your Olam Haba for ideological sins, dogmatic sins, that you don't believe in Tchias HaMesim. You don't believe in Torah Sinai. You don't believe in, you know what I'm saying? You don't believe in
So how the Kol Yisrael Yeshua Chalek, and then here's how you can't have Chalek.
This is how you lose it. That's from what you lose it, that's how the Rambam created criteria for your Amunah. For instance, if you go through Shas and you see that there are five books that the rabbis questioned whether they belong in Tanakh or not, they said, this is what's wrong with these five books, Kohelet, Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, Yechezkel, and Esther. And here's how the rabbis resolved those problems. If you look at all those sources, you're going to come up with seven or eight criteria of what makes a book in Tanakh. It has to have this, 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 and that. They thought these didn't, but that turns out they do. So you have to have these criteria. So too, what loses your Olam Haba? What loses your place in Tanakh? Right? What loses your Olam Haba? These problems. So these are our tenets of faith. Okay?
Interesting.
So the Rambam came up with 13 of them. I must say some of them, like the original Mishnah upon which it is based, looks like anti-Christian stuff. In other words, why do we have to have a principle of faith that Moshe is our greatest prophet? Of course he's our greatest prophet. It says so in the Torah. But the Torah also says you should wear tefillin. Why isn't that a principle of faith?
Well, does it say that you'll lose your Olam Haba if you don't believe that Moshe is the greatest
prophet? No, it's just the last few psukim in the Torah. So, but what if I really felt that the nevuos of Yeshayahu are greater than the nevuos of Moshe in the Torah? Or a Maimer Chazal that says that Bilam was Moshe's equal in prophecy. What does that mean? Right? Okay, but Bilam was a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. So the Christians felt that Jesus, or perhaps it's anti-Islam also, that they said that Mohammed, outdid Moshe. Both of them spoke about their allegiance to Moshe. Right? But they said that we have overcome or superseded Moshe. So that's heresy. So in light of the Rambam does that all over his Mishnah Torah even, that some of the practices we do, some of the mitzvahs we do, are in to undo some other idolatrous practices or things like that. Right? Or that you're a heretic if you believe God has a physical form. Not all the Rishonim felt that constitutes heresy. Right? That also might be anti-Christological because God took on a physical form. Anyone who believes so is ipso facto a heretic.
I still don't understand the first line. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek B'Olam Haba. What does that mean then?
Your mother's Jewish. You're born with a chelek in the next world.
But you
now here's
lose
what
it.
You can do to lose it.
So you start with it, is what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Here, everybody gets a thing, and now...
Oh, yeah, the Tosefta is in Sanhedrin. It says, also Yeshlam Chelek B'Olam Haba.
Can you lose it and gain it back again?
Stama. That's a discussion about Menashe. You lost it to get it back. Okay.
So he's saying you can lose it just through thought alone, not through action?
Yeah. You can think your way into Avodah Zarah, too. And you can think your way, yeah. No, you can. We all have doubts, but you know, faith's first cousin is doubt. But you know, but it is. You there are certain beliefs there. But that, I mean, that's right now a huge debate amongst the scholars and the people who come for scholar residence, you know, whether we're supposed to believe in anything, whether the Rambam fabricated this. Right, there's no doubt that the statements in Chazal that say your actions are more important than what you're thinking, right? But still, it's very clear from the Rambam that these are crucial principles. Well, there are Rishonim who disagreed. Who codified this? Who canonized the Rambam's 13 principles? Because there were other Rishonim, Yosef Albo in his book Sefer Ikarim. Yet Ikari Hamuna, he said there are only three principles of faith. Right? He encapsulated a lot of the Rambam's principles into, like, he put these four really, is really only one. God rewards and punishes. It's all God rewards and punishes. Mashiach is part of our reward. Olamav is part of our Ches HaMesim, is part of our reward. All right, but anyway, the Rambam came up with this. It does appear that in that Mishnah, last Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it begins Kol Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, and then there's seven people in Tanakh who, by dint of their actions, lost their Olam Haba. There are scholars who claim that the Mishnah is all wrapped up in discussions of things that the early Christians were doing, like using God's name to heal things, or pronouncing God's name the way, you know, pronouncing the word's name, it's found, or saying psukim to cure. These are things that they were violating.
I have one more tangent.
And one is anyone who reads the outside books. Hakori b'sforim chitzoniim. What are those outside books? So it's either the Apocrypha or the New Testament.
Hmm. How do Christians get around the psukim that say forever? This is a chok hilul olam.
That and many others. I mean, the last words of Tanakh is Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah. And even the one of the big proofs of God choosing Jesus is Shalom chapter 89, where God says, "You are my son, I gave birth to you, I'm going to give you a kingdom." God says those words to David in Shmuel Beis and in Divrei Hayamim. Right? But chapter 89 of Tehillim is all about someone suffering an immense punishment. They say that's the prediction of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. But the punishments come to him in that perek, if it's not that he's going to get it if he doesn't follow the Torah. Right?
Yeah.
No Christian teaches that Jesus suffered on the cross because of his sinful ways in Torah. They say he suffered on the cross to atone for the sins of others. So it's such a fabrication. I'd love to just have the Pope right here and say, please explain to me Tehillim 89. Why is Tehillim 89 so important to you? It's very clear. And by the way, Tehillim 89 is a quote from Shmuel Bet when Hashem tells David, "You won't build me the temple; your son will. He'll be a son to me. It'll be like I gave birth to him. And if he turns away from my Torah, and then he uses the same words that Tehillim 89 uses. It's obvious what that parak is about. If David had known, that would be mangled by Christians. He probably would have left it out. But, you know, wait till you see the virgin birth prophecy in Isaiah 7 is just outrageous. How they just rip it apart. So anyway, so here's your 13 principles. It's poetic. It has the same amount of syllables. It's very brilliantly written, and. Okay, there are different opinions about its authorship and when it was written. But you know, if you want, we have at the end of the davening, most siddurim contain the Ani Ma'amin, the Emunah Shlema. Right, so it's not likely that the Rambam wrote those either. Exactly like that, he wrote 13 paragraphs. And then at the end, they were encapsulated in what we call Imam Ibn Ashlema, B'yas HaMashiach, B'yishis Mimim. That's the compendium of this big paragraph that speaks about Mashiach. Right? So here it's just in poetic form. Okay. All right. Okay, so I...
Who's considered a composer?
So it says Yehuda Dayan in the year 5143, I think. 5140, so it's 600 years ago. 630 years ago. Right? Mm-hmm. 1400. 1360, 1580, something like that. All right? Okay, so... So then, it's okay, we'll do the animamins at the end, but let's just continue. State of Birchas HaShachar. Kosev HaTur, B'Simen Memvav. ואחר שניח תפילין יסדר הברכה שתקנו על סידור העולם והנהגסו. לפי סדר הגמר, and דף סמך in מצחס ברכס, it says, when you put on your belt, say this. When you put on your shirt, say this. When you put on your pants, say this. You're walking, say this. You stretch out, say this. You open your eyes, say this. You know, when you hear the alarm clock, you hear the rooster, say this. So all kinds of brachas to say. Now, we have long ago lost the system of when to say these things. People, what if I'm not wearing a belt, what if I'm not wearing a hat, what if I'm, you know. So we just decided that we'll say it, we'll start the davening with that in the morning. Mishnah Berurah explains it that way. But Mishnah Berurah also says that you should say it on your own first. That's why the only person that, you know, sometimes you get to shul and say, okay, you daven. He goes, I already said the brachos.
Can't say it again? Is it
Tzibur? Yeah.
Better not to really? If someone, there's someone else who didn't say it. So usually what we tell is the mourners. You know, the year of my, when I was, I was Navelis, I Dafka didn't say it. Because I knew I'd come to shul and take there. So those are Allah Seder. They're by certain activities. So, right? So the Rosh asks a simple question. He says, it says, when you cover your head, say this. Well, what has your head been before you said that? Right? Okay, so it could be that this is what we were wearing before, and after the words of Teri Yisrael B'Sifor, you took your cloak and you covered your head with it for the rest of davening. Right? One time, Rav Kahana came to see Rav, and Rav said, why isn't your head covered? And he said, because I'm not married.
Oh.
So this is what, they bring about why you don't wear a talis until you're married.
Is that also why men don't wear hats and strimals until they're married?
It could be, yeah. Also, now they get a bar mitzvah. But it's not a good source because really a bar mitzvah boy should get a talis. You know?
Right.
If it's a bit lisatef, you know, that to cover most of your body, and you're worried that the talis cotton doesn't do it, and you want one that's wool, so it's better, you know. I don't know, you got a talis at bar mitzvah, right? Or even before, probably.
But I wore one since.
Yeah, I know. You're Sephardi. So, you know, Dan? You ever met? Oh, I thought you know each other, right? I was alone, Brian, again, Dan Pissar. But what he was doing is it was like a hood, you see, like a hoodie, right? It was part of your, something you're wearing all day. That was your garment, but you cover your head with it only if you're married. Now that you see that in some poskim, you should only put the talis over your head if you have a reputation of being pious. And
I thought everybody does it.
It depends on the place. A place like Broyers, you can only cover your head if you're.
Really, when you're doing Shemoneh Esrei?
I've
got an aliyah where people told me you have to cover your head.
In Broyer. Oh, yeah.
In Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah.
When you go up to the Torah, you're supposed to cover your head.
Absolutely. Anything from the beam, you have to cover your head.
Who does?
Anything from the beam, if you're davening for the army, you have to cover your head. Wear a hat, you cover your head.